Cultural osmosis is an interesting thing. I have this library of pop culture I can draw from and understand references to, even though I haven't interacted directly with the specific piece of pop culture. I have never seen Die Hard, but if someone references Carl Winslow shooting a kid, I understand both of the references. I have, however, seen every episode of Family Matters, even the bullshit ones that were on CBS. You know, the ones where Steve Urkel goes into space and then comes back to marry Laura, the girl he's been harassing for most of their lives. And that was the thing about Night of the Living Dummy. As I was reading it, I knew that Slappy has become the main antagonist in subsequent Dummy books. I spent the whole book noticing that, one, it's more like Knights of the Living Dummy, and two, Slappy is just as much of a threat, if not more so than Mr. Wood. It's time for a classic Goosebumps tale about twins, dummies, and competition. This is rereading my childhood, Goosebumps, Night of the Living Dummy. Chris and Lindy are twins who seem to hate each other. One has short hair, one has a side ponytail. Other than that, they look identical. Even though they look similar, they are still two very different people. But their parents also treat them as identical people. They are expected to play together, and as we later see, their parents don't make an effort to have them distinguish themselves from the other, or actively encourage them to partake in identical activities. Their mother forces both of them to go outside and play, taking Lindy away from the book she was reading. Was it only our generation that had parents who actively didn't want us reading books? My father was different, though. He was a bookworm, and I spent most of my childhood reading books and taking weekly trips to the library while the other kids had parents who told them to go outside and play sports or whatever. I saw a study that said that baby boomers didn't read as much as millennials, so it makes sense that they would chastise us for reading so much. One time when I was a kid, I tried to check out a stack of books from the library, and my father said that the library only allowed people to check out three at a time. I don't think he was trying to curb my reading. I was a kid who walked up to the counter with 15 books, and my father didn't think that I could read all of them or keep track of them to return them to the library. The girls don't go to the library after they are kicked out. Instead, they go to the house that is under construction next door. In the dumpster, they find a dummy. Lindy held the dummy up and examined his back, looking for the string to pull to make his mouth move. "I am a real kid," Lindy made him say. She was speaking in a high-pitched voice through gritted teeth, trying not to move her lips. "Dumb," Chris said, rolling her eyes. "I am not dumb. You're dumb," Lindy made the dummy say in a high, squeaky voice. When she pulled the string in his back, the wooden lips moved up and down, clacking as they moved. She moved her hand up his back and found the control to make his painted eyes shift from side to side. "He's probably filled with bugs," Chris said, making a disgusted voice. "Throw him back, Lindy." "No way," Lindy insisted, rubbing her hand tenderly over the dummy's wooden hair. "I'm keeping him."
"She's keeping me," she made the dummy say.
"What are you going to do with this dummy?" Chris demanded. "I don't know. Maybe I'll work up an act," Lindy said thoughtfully, shifting Slappy the dummy to her other arm. "I'll bet I'll earn some money with him. You know, appear at kids' birthday parties, put on shows."
"Happy birthday," she made Slappy declare. "Hand over some money."
Chris didn't laugh. Tough crowd. I thought it was pretty funny. Now we're back to the cultural osmosis issue. I know that Slappy is the antagonist of the other dummy books, and I know that he's evil. I spent this whole novel wondering when Slappy was going to go all murder dummy. This book threw me a loop with the introduction of another dummy. After Lindy announces she was hired to do a ventriloquist act at a birthday party, Chris asks for her own dummy. Her parents come up with a ridiculous suggestion. "Why don't you both share Slappy?" Mrs. Powell suggested. "Huh?" Lindy's mouth dropped open in protest. "You two always share everything," Mrs. Powell continued. "So why don't you share Slappy?" "But, Mom," Lindy whined unhappily. "Excellent idea," Mr. Powell interrupted. He motioned to Chris. "Try it out. After you share him for a while, I'm sure one of you will lose interest in him. Maybe even both of you." Chris climbed to her feet and walked over to Lindy. She reached out for the dummy. "I don't mind sharing," she said quietly, searching her sister's eyes for approval of the idea. Can I hold him for just a second?" Lindy held onto Slappy tightly. Suddenly, the dummy's head tilted back and his mouth opened wide. "Beat it, Chris," he snarled in a harsh, raspy voice. "Get lost, you stupid moron." Before Chris could back away, Slappy's wooden hand shot up and he slapped her hard across the face. First of all, wow, Slappy's outburst was harsher than I expected in this kid's chapter book. Now the biggest issue. Hey, parents, it's Lindy's dummy. And if she doesn't want to share it, she shouldn't be forced to share the damn doll. Lindy is the one who embraced the dummy. Chris thought it was disgusting and creepy. Now Lindy is excelling in her weird creepy hobby, and she should be encouraged, not forced to share. And Chris saying she didn't mind sharing is infuriating. It's like standing by a vending machine, waiting for someone to buy a drink and then saying, "I don't mind sharing." No, it's not yours to share. And her parents justifying it by remarking, "You two always share everything." This might be the root of the problems between the girls, and it brings me back to an issue I brought up earlier. They aren't able to cultivate a personality apart from each other. Lastly, her father's conjecture that one will lose interest isn't a good metric for parenting. Later, we also learn there's going to be a school chorus featuring Russian songs. "Yeah, we're doing all these Russian and Yugoslavian songs," Chris said. "They're so sad. They're all about sheep or something. We don't really know what they're about. There's no translation." What the fuck kind of school does Russian sheep dirges for the school chorus? Especially in this time. The songs we sang during school recitals were non-denominational holiday songs and "Home Means Nevada." Anyway, despite all the rigmarole about sharing Slappy, Mr. Powell goes out and buys a second dummy at a pawn shop to give to Chris. She names him Mr. Wood, which is a way worse name than Slappy. Pretty soon, we get a dose of her stand-up with her friend Cody. Chris turned Mr. Wood to face her. "How are you today?" she asked him. "Pretty good. Knock on wood," she made the dummy say. She waited for Cody to laugh, but he didn't. "Was that funny?" she asked. "Kinda," he replied without enthusiasm. "Keep going." "Okay." Chris lowered her head so that she was face to face with her dummy. "Mr. Wood," she said, "why are you standing in front of the mirror with your eyes closed?" "Well," said the dummy in a high-pitched, squeaky voice, "I wanted to see what I look like when I'm asleep." It's as funny as any ventriloquist act I've ever seen, and I'd rather watch an hour of this than a minute of Jeff Dunham. Still, Chris knows that Lindy is doing better than her. Chris keeps finding Mr. Wood in weird positions, like wearing her clothes at one point and mid-choke of Slappy. Eventually, he calls Chris a jerk and is later found in the middle of the kitchen with the contents of the refrigerator strewn about with Chris's jewelry and the food. Chris insists that the dummy did it, and Mrs. Powell threatens to take away the dummies if anything else goes wrong. Chris throws Mr. Wood into the closet, then she hears a voice, leading to this exchange. "I wanted to see if I could scare you," Lindy explained. "It was just a joke, you know? I can't believe you fell for that voice in the closet just now. I must be a really good ventriloquist." "But, Lindy, you really believed Mr. Wood was alive or something?" Lindy said, laughing, enjoying her victory. "You're such a nit." Lindy did all these pranks after Chris got a dummy also, and she did it as a joke. Everyone in Stein's novels are always trying to play pranks on one another, like in Who Killed the Homecoming Queen. What kind of weird pranks are going on in his childhood, and why are they always so mean? Kids don't still do pranks like this, do they? Chris finds a piece of paper with some weird words on it. Like a dummy, a different kind of dummy, she reads the words aloud. Then the dummy spews green bile at the student body during an assembly. This whole time, I thought Slappy and Mr. Wood are switched because I know Slappy is the focus of future Night of the Living Dummy novels, including a whole series called Slappy World. We'll see if I get that far. However, Mr. Wood gets up and starts actually attacking the girls. He wants them for slaves. The girls try to bury him, but the next morning he's in the kitchen, saying they're his slaves, and he attacks their dog. Mr. Wood meets his end when a steamroller runs over his head, a green gas cloud erupting from beneath the vehicle. The girls have become closer, and they entered their room to find the window wide open, the curtains flapping wildly, rain pouring in. "Oh no!" Chris hurried across the room to shut the window. As she leaned over the chair to grab the window frame, Slappy reached up and grabbed her arm. "Hey, slave, is that other guy gone?" the dummy asked in a throaty growl. "I thought he'd never leave!" I spent the whole book wondering when Slappy was going to reveal that he switched places with Mr. Wood and he is the truly evil one. The ending was fun, but I do wonder if Slappy was even meant to continue the dummy legacy, akin to the final scare of Friday the 13th. Jason wasn't meant to continue on to star in 10 movies. A television show, a couple of video games, some neat cameos, novels I might read in the future, dolls, board games, and countless other things I've yet to own. R.L. Stein tends to use these endings that imply that while the characters have learned something, their problems are never really over, like Stay Out of the Basement, which I covered. Stein may not have intended Slappy to have more books, but he did, and I read this book through that lens. Maybe because I knew about Slappy and I expected the book to go a certain way, I was open to being surprised after Lindy says she did all those pranks, or more appropriately, therapist fodder. This was a fun book, but I wish I could have read this without any knowledge of Slappy. There is no way I can take away the knowledge I have about these books. And honestly, this is a series about looking back. We cannot judge these books without the knowledge we have, no matter how hard we try to maintain cultural relativism and ignorance. However, I don't think it's such a bad thing or hurts the integrity of the review. This is something we all have to contend with as we interact with popular culture, especially when we're interacting with popular culture intended for children through the eyes of an adult.